Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
You can continue to line up and tell me about your celebrity brushes. Alabama Adriana once had a drink with Charles Barkley. I sold football cards on eBay that Bill Belichick bought. Judah Newby put his thumb in Kevin Costner's mouth. No, he didn't. Our next guest is a data scientist. You can find him on Twitter where he does a phenomenal job. You can also find him at sharpcollegefootball.com. Rob Bowron is joining us. He is, like a lot of people, working from home. You got kids in your household, Rob?
I do. I am doing the attempting to work from home and also provide childcare to a four-year-old.
That's okay. My four-year-old walked into the radio studio from home one day and said hello to everybody on air and then walked out. So we'll do it. We'll do it. Hey, there's a lot of smoke out there with various states saying, you know, what they might allow, what they aren't going to allow. You got college football conferences jockeying and saying, you know, we're going to play, we're planning to play. I'm studying the language closely. You've got universities who want students on campus, and I know they want them there, but will they be there? What do you make of the landscape right now? How confusing is it for people to kind of wade through it?
I mean, I guess I would say as people go through this and when people are making sort of big, broad statements about the future right now, just think about them as being, you know, lightly written in pencil, because the time right now when you might say you might have to start planning to have students on campus and, is now, right? Like, you need to, if you're going to make a plan to have on-campus instruction in the fall, you need to be sort of working towards that. But that's not to say that even if you say that is your plan, that that's where we're going to be in August, right? Or even where we may be in September. I think that as we're coming out of, you know, the lockdowns, you know, as we start to see more of the data coming in of what life is going to be like post-lockdown, things are going to change, right? Like, and I think that universities, mostly right now, when they say having students on campus, they have huge holes in their budget that just don't work without residence halls open. And that's true of college football. I mean, athletic departments are dependent on college, you know, football revenue. So we'll see. I feel like right now there's a lot of feeling that, like, people are making big statements on little data, and we'll sort of see in the future whether any of that holds up. I'm skeptical over this whole divergence that the Pac-12 will end up, you know, not playing football while everyone else does or something like that. I think by the time we get to the fall, we will largely be in lockstep across the country with respect to that.
I agree with you, too, because I think that you have the Pac-12 that's exploring contingencies and the SEC exploring theirs, and this stuff leaks out and then we all kind of run with it. But, you know, as a data scientist, where does your brain go? What data are you looking at? What markers might signal to you that we're moving in an encouraging direction as it comes to sports?
Well, I think the things to look for that would lead you to believe that we're heading in an encouraging direction, we don't have a really good handle on a lot of things right now. There's a big spread of possibilities. But if you're looking at, you know, a lot of the data right now, like, only really in New York City in the U.S. and in that area, and I used to live in New York, so I get it how it spread so quickly there, because, you know, everybody's on mass transit and you're crammed in apartment buildings and, you know, that's the only place we've really had significant spread in all likelihood in the U.S. where you're talking about, you know, maybe, you know, projections were 30% of the population in New York may have had, you know, COVID-19. That's not true in most of the U.S. still. So there's still a lot more unknown of what's going to happen. How fast will it spread in situations where people aren't often spending much time in mass transit? Like, we have much more of a car culture in the rest of the U.S. So I think that, you know, the signs on the West Coast are actually somewhat encouraging, because you do feel like you know that it is, has likely been there for some time, given the connections with East Asia there. That said, like, I guess when I look at it, I think, you know, like, we'll sort of see. I think people are making big statements that aren't backed up by a lot of the data right now. They say, like, oh, we're going to have some break in the summer. Man, Mexico is getting hit really hard right now. Ecuador is getting hit really hard right now. To the point even where, you know, 2 weeks ago, there are stories in Ecuador popping up of, you know, unburied bodies in the streets. It's pretty warm there. I mean, the notion that we don't know, right? And that, I think, is, like, I would keep track of, as we start to come out of lockdowns, you know, like, we're not going to see real numbers on how things are going to work until sort of 14 days later. And the lockdown should have slowed things down. There should be fewer people out there who are carrying active infections to start out with. Hopefully, you know, America's car culture and sort of being a little bit more spaced out to start with helps in preventing large spread over the summer. But there are concerns in the fall, and I would be concerned. I mean, I work in insurance for my day job. A lot of these university statements, I just think of, have you talked to your insurer about this? if you plan on having students in a dorm, where do you send them when they get sick? You can't send them home, right? Because if you send them home, what if their parents get sick and they're in a demographic that has a far higher mortality rate? You know, how do you have, you know, players playing? Do you tell them they can no longer see their families, right? Like, these aren't paid. These people aren't paid, right? I mean, they should be, but they're not paid. You know, asking people to take those kinds of risks and, you know, potentially pass on those kinds of risks to you know, family members that they care about, that's a big thing.
Rob Bowron is our guest, data scientist, Sharp College Football. It's interesting because you're at this convergence of, like, you know, there's numbers in football, there's data in football, and now we have a pandemic where we're all studying graphs and we're all trying to become experts on this stuff. How frustrating is it for you to watch common guy on Twitter throw out blanket statements based on very little data?
I mean, it's really frustrating. I mean, and we try to, I'll give you an example like that. Even people that should know better often do. It's like America's doing a bad statistics course in real time on Twitter. Like, you're watching Americans not do well on a stats exam. And this is true in general, right? Like, I mean, like, you often see, like, what'll get reported out as some study that, you know, 9 out of 10 people that eat eggs, you know, live past 80 or something like that, right? And then you dig in and you're like, how did we end up with this being reported out? We are very often with that here, and people, there's a lot of sort of choose your own adventure on the numbers. Like, there's some very selective, you know, bias on, like, if you want to take a very optimistic view of things, there, we don't have such a good handle on the numbers right now that you can go find numbers that will support that case. If you want to take a very negative view of things, you can go find numbers that will support that case. The right answer probably is somewhere like, I don't know, but I'm somewhat comfortable, like, here in the middle of the distribution of numbers, right? And that, I think, is probably where we should be. Like, people should be comfortable at this point still saying, I don't know, because there is so much we don't know.
We're watching, you know, and look, people's health, well-being, the economy, way more important than sports, but we get wrapped up in that stuff. And you know, I'm looking at the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL, and I'm kind of going, gosh, do they have an easier path than college football, because they don't have the added element of students on campus and what does that have to do and can we do this? What should college football be looking at? Should they be looking over at Europe and watching soccer leagues that are going back to work, the UFC? Is there any kind of model they can study so they can go, hey, when we go back, this is how we should do it?
I mean, if they do, we should keep an eye on what Europe is going to do. I mean, Germany is an excellent example. Germany's done a phenomenal job. Not only, I mean, Germany, if you don't know, Germany sort of continues to lead the world in chemical research and production. So they've been able to generate and produce a lot of the chemicals required to put out a lot of tests. So Germany has a really high testing rate for their population. They also have a lower mortality rate for their population. So as the Bundesliga comes back, we should absolutely keep an eye on what Germany is able to do, you know, to be able to get that back. I mean, in Korea, what we've seen that they're able to do, and it may not be replicable. People may not be as willing to trade, you know, the freedom for the kind of contact tracing that you're able to do in South Korea. But, I mean, in South Korea, they're able to track down within 48 hours, you know, 2,000-3,000 people and put them into quarantine if they've been exposed to someone. That requires some pretty sophisticated technological tracking of your cell phone. So if we're willing to do that, we may be able to get back to having some things quicker. But even in South Korea, I mean, they're not playing in front of very many fans, if at all. And I think that's going to be, like, for the pro leagues, that's maybe a more viable option because their TV revenues are so consistently high. And maybe it is worth getting out there for them without having, you know, fans in the stands, you know, for that. I think that is a little harder for college football from the pure revenue model case. Like if I was an AD, you know, looking at how much of my revenue is tied into tickets and concession sales, you know, and even things like parking, I might be more likely to continue to push back to spring, if only so that I can have people in the stands in all likelihood, because we are sort of hopeful for a vaccine. But all of this could change too with, you know, therapeutics. You know, if treatments can be developed and get into production at some point in the fall, that is a game changer, because if you can reduce that mortality rate, then you start to talk about, you know, like, you know, being able to handle it, open things up more. But we're also at a point where, you know, they're not going to get through FDA approval at this point. You know, like, we're starting to, a lot of the conversations are about when would a drug potentially come out of FDA approval right now. And I would say right now it's, you know, we're getting to, if something started to hit testing now, it might be the end of July, you know, and kind of rolling forward.
Rob Bowron is with us, data scientist, Sharp College Football. Rob, we've been talking about celebrity brushes. Do you have one?
I used to wait tables in Nashville near Franklin at a pretty nice steakhouse, and there were a lot of country stars that came in and out, but George Jones was a regular of mine, actually, and he was hilarious, because George Jones would bring in just about everybody under the sun, but it was a really nice steakhouse, and almost no one ever asked for steak sauce at the steakhouse. But George Jones had his own brand of George Jones barbecue sauce. And it was like a little pet joke of his every time to ask, like, when y'all just start carrying, you know, my barbecue sauce in here, you know?
When you lived in New York City, did you ever bump into people? Like, is that a place where you would see people walking down the street, or is everybody kind of got their head down?
No, I mean, you see people, like, New York is like L.A. in a way, right? Like, there's sort of like a social compact to not bug celebrities if you see them.
Yeah.
So you do run into people, you know, you'd be out at dinner and you'll look over and you'll be like, oh, you know, there's, you know, Kiefer Sutherland. Or I was out walking my dog on the Upper West Side. I used to live on the Upper West Side. You know, which, if you have a dog and live in New York, it's the place to be, because I was a half block from Riverside Park. And I saw Matthew Broderick hailing a cab, getting out of a building. And I looked at him, like, did a double take, and he knew I recognized him, and then he got in a cab. Like, it was the most extremely banal brush with someone you could get.
Ferris Bueller. I love it. Hey, Rob, I appreciate you. You're a great follow on Twitter, and thank you for sharing some of your expertise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Rob Bowron, data scientist, Sharp College Football. I want your celebrity brushes. We'll take your phone calls. 503-417-7575. I was in the airport, I think I was in the airport in L.A. or Orange County, and I ran into, I was on the phone with my wife, and I'm walking through the airport, and I see Haley Ferguson and Emily Ferguson, the twins that were on The Bachelor, And I only knew him because my wife was watching The Bachelor all the time. I know you're nodding at me, rolling your eyes, but the I noticed that they were sitting there, and I said to my wife, "Hey, the twins from The Bachelor are on. They're sitting right here at the gate," and they noticed me noticing them. So I walked over with my wife on the phone, and I said, "Can I get a picture with you guys?" And they jumped up, and I took a photo with them. And I sent it to her as proof. I said, my wife's not going to believe me. She's on the phone with me right now. And I sent it to her as proof. And then I put the picture on my Instagram. And you can see it at John Canzano on Instagram. And both the Ferguson twins immediately followed me. They still to this day follow me. We kind of have a bond. Alabama Adriana, you see that? And they don't follow everyone. But we kind of have a bond.
Yeah, okay.
From that moment, nothing was really said. I just put a picture up, and they were like, "Okay, you know, do you have people like that that follow you on social media?" And you're like, "I don't really know why these people follow me, or is it mostly listeners and people you understand?" Because I don't know why
there's
they would follow
a few
sports
people
guy.
That I don't really get, but there's some randoms, I guess, and there's a lot of people that I don't know, which is kind of weird. But I guess it is what it is.
It is social media. They just want to see what's going on, see what you're doing. You putting photographs of videos of you singing on there, then they want to hear you sing. It's flattering.
Yeah.
I like it. Carrie is in Eugene. Carrie, give me your celebrity brush.
Well, I'm a little bit older than 55, but when I was a kid, this had to be 76, 77 maybe. I'm working at this great restaurant, Riverside Restaurant in Boise, Idaho. And there wasn't much great in Boise then, but they'd come, people would come through. I think you've actually maybe gone over this. They'd come through and film different shows or different things. One, and Clint Eastwood did a couple, three in that area. And he was over there filming one of those orangutan movies, Clyde. You remember? I am. And he was playing a booth. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So I'm 15, 16 years old, and he's walking down the sidewalk, and it's mid-afternoon. I'm getting ready for my 5 o'clock shift, and I'm a busboy, and I'm like, "Oh, Jesus, that's Clint Eastwood. What am I? I don't want to be fanboy or anything."
Right.
Walking toward me. I just got close to him, and probably about 15 feet away, I'm like, stopped and cocked my head. I'm like, "You look just like Clint Eastwood." And, of course, everybody knew he was in town. And I just smiled and walked right by him.
Yeah. You don't want to be that guy. I respect that. I respect you not wanting to be that guy. Because, you know, because he's going to get that everywhere. And I also like... like, I'm looking at Clint Eastwood's movies, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, A Fistful of Dollars, and all of these, The Outlaw Josie Wales, you know, The Enforcer, Pale Rider, Unforgiven, and the movie that you remember him for are Every Which Way But Loose. You know, I love that. All right, let's continue this on the other side of this quick break at the top of the hour here. I want your celebrity brushes. Mark and Beaverton will lead us off. Bill and Eugene still holding. Mitch listening in New Jersey is still holding. Toby and Sandy, I'm going to get to you. I want your celebrity brushes. I want to hear about those times in which you bumped into someone. And I'm separating from me. It's not like, of course, like I have been in a lot of locker rooms and I've interviewed players. I'm more focused on like sort of the mundane. Like you're walking down the street and there is Matthew Broderick celebrity brush. I want those at 503-417-7575 or tweet them at me at John Canzano BFT on Twitter. You can do that as well. All right. Coming up, your celebrity brushes, plus we'll talk more sports.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.